And get started this morning. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. I'm going to read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 to get us started this morning. This will be our 10th lesson as we continue our study on the defense of the King James Bible, hold firm to the foundation. Acts chapter 10. This morning, we're going to try to finish up the section that deals with the missionary principle found in the Word of God. Acts chapter 10, we'll start reading verse number 1 in just a little bit. Those of you that have your notes, if you want to turn to page 46 of your notes, that's where we'll start at the top of the page on page 46 in just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, notice what the Bible says. It says, "For this cause also I thank we God without ceasing, because," now listen, "when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Folks, of a truth, this King James Bible that I hold in my hands this morning is not the word of men, but is indeed the word of God. And I'm delighted this morning to be able to stand before you and proclaim that this is the Word of God. Now, let me set the foundation for where we're going this morning. We're talking about the missionary principle. I don't want you to be in the dark about it. The missionary principle found in the Word of God is simply this. Anytime a person or a people lives up to the light of God that they have, God sees to it that they're given more light. That's the missionary principle found in the Word of God. I'm going to explain that as we go along, but I wanted you to have that before you. Now, folks, please keep this in mind. The critical text position goes like this. Those that created the critical text, and to a lesser degree, those that use the critical text, their belief is simply this. They believe that possibly God gave the Word of God originally, the original manuscripts called the autographs. After that, though, according to them, God is no longer on the scene. They would tell us that God possibly gave the original autographs, possibly God gave the Word of God originally, but then God went away, if you will, and God's not involved in this thing anymore. According to them, the Word of God was then promptly lost. God might have given it originally, but now it's lost. The only thing that's left, according to them, are for those that are educated enough and scholarly enough, those that are learned enough in the original Bible languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. According to the critical text crowd, it's up to those folks now to search throughout the world, to look at all the manuscript evidence that's out there, and that crowd is now attempting to reconstruct the Word of God. You see, according to them, the Word of God might have originally been given by God, but then it's lost, and now they're trying to find it. And by the way, they're the only ones qualified, according to them, they're the only ones qualified to do this. You and I, we're not qualified if we don't know the original languages and we don't have the height of education that they have. You and I simply are not qualified. So according to them, you and I simply have to listen to what they tell us and go along with it. I'm here to say to you, we don't need to listen to what they tell us, and we're not going to go along with it. And besides that, they've been wrong from the very beginning. You see, they started out with the wrong basis. And if you start out with the wrong basis, you're going to come to the wrong conclusions. So they started out wrong, and they ended up to where they are today wrong. And that crowd that tells us that we must listen to them, they've already came to the place that they've thrown their hands up and they've told us in their writings, we don't have the Word of God and we're never going to have it. That's where you go when you embrace the critical text philosophy. I submit to you that none of that is correct. I submit to you that God Almighty always had a plan, folks. I submit to you that God, just like the Bible says, gave us the pure Word of God by inspiration. I submit to you, based on the Word of God, that God then by preservation took those original perfect words, and through His preservation, God brought that Word through time to this very day, and you and I have a copy of the perfect and pure Word of God in our King James Bible. You see, folks, God always does things decently and in order. That's especially true when it came to the giving of His Word. God always had a plan. God always had a plan. Now, what I want to share with you is a little bit, just a little glimpse of that plan. I don't pretend to know all the mind of God, but I am thankful that God has given us some things in the Word of God that we can know. One of the things is the missionary principle. The missionary principle says that when people live up to the light that they have, God gives them more light. When God, now here it is, when God gives that additional light, that light of necessity includes the Word of God. All right. Acts chapter 10 in your Bible, verse number 1. We're going to read quite a bit this morning on this chapter, but I want you to have this before you, this principle. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, I want to stop right there and say this. I want you to take note of the band that he was in. Cornelius was in the Italian Band. Now, that says to me that he didn't speak Greek. He spoke Italian. So when Peter eventually gets there to where Cornelius is, Peter is going to need to communicate with Cornelius in something other than Greek, or Cornelius is not going to know any more than he already knows. I love that thought. That's interesting. Verse number 2. Cornelius, talking about Cornelius, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, I need to stop right here because some may be a little bit confused. When we read verse number 2, that sounds like our most faithful church member there. I mean, if I could have somebody to say that about me, I'd just be praising God, you know, and all. If somebody said, now, old Steve Kirkpatrick, he's a devout man and he fears God with all his house and he gives much alms to the people and he prays to God always. Boy, I'd like that. I'd take that. I'd accept that this morning. I want you to notice something. Cornelius was not a saved man. The man that verse number 2 is talking about is not a saved man. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, how do you know that? I want you to turn to chapter 11 and verse number 14. Chapter 11 and verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? I skipped the story now about Peter. I'm going to go back to it. But I want you to understand right at the very beginning that Cornelius was not a saved man. He knew something about God. And what he knew about God, he was living up to, but he needed some additional light. And so God saw to it that received the additional light so that he and his family could be saved. All right, let's go back, chapter 10, verse number 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, Cornelius is praying. The angel of the Lord comes to him. Cornelius, he says, I want you to send to where Peter is. I want you to send some men to where Peter is and get Peter to come here to where you are, because you need to know something else about the Word of God. Now, I'm going to skip some of the story and I'm going to fill in the blanks for you. In the meanwhile, Peter has a vision that all of you are familiar with. Peter has a vision. He sees a sheet let down from heaven. It's held by the four corners. In that sheet are all manner of unclean animals. God speaks to Peter in the vision and he says, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, oh no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. As a good Jew, I've never eaten any of the unclean animals. I'm not doing that. And God says to Peter, he said, Peter, what I've given to you is not unclean. You need to take it and you need to eat it. Now, let's start back reading verse number 29. Verse number 29, chapter number 10. Peter is now where Cornelius and his family are. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. Peter is speaking now. He's telling Cornelius. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. The men come to Peter's house. They say, we need to, God sent us here. You need to go with us. God had already told him that people were coming. Peter went with him. Peter still doesn't know why he's going. He gets there to where Cornelius is, and Peter asks Cornelius, he says, why in the world did you send those guys to get me? Verse number 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. You know, that kind of sounds like the gospel to me, doesn't it? The death and the burial and the resurrection. Now remember, Peter's came to Cornelius. Cornelius, why'd you call me? Well, I'm not really sure exactly, Peter. I just know God told me to send for you. And so Peter's preaching now, and he just got through giving him the gospel. Verse 41. Now, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify, that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all which had heard the word. They all got saved, folks. Chapter 11, verse 14 tells us without a doubt, Cornelius was not a saved man. But Cornelius was a man, that lived up to the light of God that he had. And because Cornelius lived up to the light of God that he had, God saw to it that he was given additional light, and he, as a result, got saved. Now, here's what I think happened. I think that Peter came to Cornelius' house, and I think that Peter spoke to Cornelius and all his family in Latin because that was the language that they spoke. And that as a result of hearing the Word of God in their language, in their tongue, they were able to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, there's a broader principle that I want you to see here. The broader principle that I want you to see has to do with the Word of God in general and the presence of the Word of God throughout history. Now, remember, history gets a little sketchy sometimes. Those that deny the Word of God, they've jumped up on that lax historical record, if you will. And they say, well, you see, the Word of God was originally given, but it was lost, and we're trying to find it. Folks, it was never lost. It was always available. Not only was it always available, it was always available to a lot of people in its fullness and in its perfection. I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 19. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What's the Bible telling us? The Bible is telling us in Romans chapter 1, the verses I just read, that there are certain things about God that all people everywhere in all ages have always known. Now stay with me. Everyone at any period of history all over the world have had, every people has had something about God revealed to them. Missionaries tell us that no matter where they've ever gone, when they've gone into the jungles and the desert places of the world and the farthest reaches, you know one thing that missionaries have always found? Even though those people didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they always found that those people worship some kind of a deity. Those people, no matter where they've gone in the world, the people that they came in contact with always knew that there was a power somewhere, somebody that was greater than them and more powerful than them. And they knew that He was angry because of their sin. That's the reason in some places where they would sacrifice their babies to their god in the river and throw their babies to the crocodile in the river. They were trying to appease a God that was angry. Now, how did they know? How did they know there was a God that was angry if they had never had a Bible and they never had the preaching of the Word of God? They knew it because God Almighty in heaven revealed it to them. Romans chapter 1 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And then he goes on to say that which was known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Folks, the truth of the matter is that God has always and still does today places a God consciousness within the being of every person. That's the reason you've heard me say over all these years that I don't believe there's anything as an honest atheist. And I stand by that based on the Word of God. I believe that the people that will argue you down and say that there is no God, I believe when they're all by themselves and all along, I believe that deep down in their soul, there's that little nagging doubt that's down in there that says, you know what, you may be wrong about that. There may be a God. Why do I believe that? Because God said that He reveals certain things to men. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 1 that God reveals His impersonal attributes to all men. Folks, God has revealed His existence within the being of all people. Now, I'm trying to build it, lay the foundation here because I want to bring out this point. And I'm trying my best to make sense, and I'm not sure if I'm going to succeed or not this morning. With that in mind, I want you to notice the difference between Romans chapter 1 and the story of Cornelius. Stay with me. In the heart of every person, there's a consciousness of Almighty God. You can respond to that in one of two ways. You can do what they do here in Romans chapter number 1. What does it say? I'm not going to read it all. But it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, in Romans chapter 1, you've got a group of people. They have a consciousness of God, but here's how they respond to that. They respond to that by saying, well, I don't care that there's a God. I'm not going to glorify Him as God. And it goes on to say that they turned the truth of God into a lie. They even came to the place that when they looked up into heaven, the Bible says, for the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. When we look into heaven, folks, we ought to see the glory of God. But you know what this group did in Romans 1? They looked up into heaven, and when they saw the stars and the planets, they didn't see the glory of God. You know what they see? They see the signs of the zodiac. They changed it. Oh, this group of stars is Leo, and that's Scorpio, and this is the twins, and you see? And then what did God do to this crowd in Romans chapter 1? I'm not reading it all. The Bible says God gave them up. You know what that phrase gave them up means, folks? It carries the idea of God quit restraining them. You know, the greatest punishment that God can give to a man is to simply withdraw Himself from that man and allow that man to do whatever it is he wants to do. That's what God did in Romans 1. They knew there was a God, and yet they glorified Him not as God, and they changed the truth of God into a lie. And God said, okay, if you've made up your mind, that's what you want to do. You don't want to glorify Me. You don't want to live for Me. I'll allow you to do what you want to do. I'll withdraw Myself. And when God withdraws Himself from any people, that people plunges into the depths of depravity. What's the other way that you can respond? They can respond like Cornelius. Cornelius had the same revelation in his heart. And what did Cornelius do? Based on the life that he had, Cornelius said, you know what, there's a God in heaven and I need to live for Him and try to do what's right by Him. And he did all that he knew to do. Now, Cornelius at the beginning didn't have enough information. He didn't have enough of the Word of God to get saved. But folks, that's where God stepped in. God stepped into Cornelius' life and God said, you know what, Cornelius is living up to the light that he's got of Me. He wants to do what's right, and I'm going to honor that. And God sent Peter with the Word of God, and Peter preached to Cornelius and his family, and they all got saved. The bigger picture is this, folks. Throughout history, the history of mankind, God has always done the same thing. Folks, do you think it's just random and chance that God, that a certain missionary goes to a certain mission field to preach the Word of God? Folks, God's got a plan. God knows the beginning from the end and always did. God's always worked on a set of principles and God's always had a decent and orderly way. And in every age, from the very beginning, here's what God has done. God has looked at a people, and when they lived up to the life that they had, God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send them the Word of God so that they can get saved. And folks, God sent the Word of God throughout all the world. Last week we looked at it. I'm not going to go back again. I read all the verses. The Bible tells us that in the days of the early church, the Word of God went into all the world. The Bible tells us in the days of the early church that all the people of the world had the Word of God in their own language. Acts chapter 2, 16 or 17 or 18 different languages mentioned there according to how you count them. I've counted them. I don't know how many times. I get a different number every time. I really do. You ought to try it sometime. You have to try to figure out. I try to figure out, okay, Is this one ought to be counted? There's two and one. You check it out. See, I'm not saying there's any problem with the Word of God. I'm just saying I'm dumb. But anyway, I keep counting them. I keep getting numbers. And I've read all these guys. And I read one guy and he said there's 15 languages. And one said 16 and one said 17 and one said 18. And I thought, well, those guys are not any smarter than I am. I wonder why they're writing books. But anyway, all of those languages, and God gave them the Word of God in their language. Folks, God's always done that. Why is that important? Here's why it's important. The critical text crowd is trying to get us to believe that maybe God gave the Word of God in the beginning, but it's all been lost, and throughout history, not many people have had it, and certainly, if not many people had it, there's not many evidences of it anywhere. And folks, there's just none of that true. Everybody had it from the beginning. They lost it because they didn't honor it. And you know what God has done? God has came back behind man. Even when man, because of his own hardness of heart, lost the truth of the Word of God, God has came back in other generations. And when that people lived up to the life they had, God sent it back to them again. Wow. I like that. Remember, the Word of God was never lost. It was never lost, folks. It's always been intact. It's always been inspired from the very beginning. It's still inerrant and infallible, and yes, this preacher believes that the King James Bible is the Word of God. I don't believe there's any errors in it. I don't believe there's any mistranslations in it. I believe that this is the pure and perfect Word of God. The missionary principle. It's just the opposite of what the critical text crowd teaches. They say it was lost. And God said, you know what? It was never lost. I had a plan from the beginning. I've been sending it all over the world from the very beginning. It was never lost. Boy, I like that. Man, alive. Whew. Man. Page 49. We're coming down to the King James Bible now. Wow. The English language. And the Word of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Folks, God is God, and because He is, He's always done everything at just the right time. God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ came to this earth at just the right time. The Bible says, in the fullness of time. The conditions were perfect when Jesus came for the introduction of the Savior to the world. The conditions were perfect for the establishment of the New Testament church, and the conditions were perfect for the spread of the gospel. There was a widely used language in place. Could I just say something here? And all I got time is to introduce this section. Folks, God to a large extent has preserved the New Testament text in the Greek language. But I want you to listen very carefully. I said God to a large extent. I didn't say God exclusively preserved it in the Greek language. The truth of the matter is, from the very beginning, the Word of God was as available in multitudes of other languages as it was in the Greek language. And I'm talking about, obviously, when I talk about Greek, I'm talking about the New Testament text right now. We've been led to believe that it was exclusively the Greek language that preserved the Word of God for you and I so that we have it in our King James Bible. The fact of the matter is, that's only partially true. You see, God preserved certain aspects, certain portions of the Word of God that you and I have in our King James Bible in other languages, specifically in the Latin language, also in the Syrian tongue. God used some other languages to preserve the Word of God so that you and I would have it today. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Roman Empire had a large territory that could travel within those borders and spread the gospel. There was a zealous group of Jews in place that would accept the Lord Jesus Christ and spread the gospel. You see, folks, God has always done everything at just the right time, in just the right way, and has always achieved exactly the right results. This thought also applies to the giving of the Word of God, the King James Bible, in the English language. Folks, God looked forward in time. I'm going to stop with the notes right here and finish up with this thought. God looked forward in time and He saw two nations that didn't exist in Bible days, Great Britain and the United States. He saw two world empires that spoke a language that in Bible days didn't exist, called English. God saw that when we got to 2011, July the 3rd, is it today? God looked forward in time, and on July the 3rd, 2011, here's what God saw. God saw a language called English. He saw that today, on the face of the earth, that over 2 billion people speak English today, either as a primary language or a secondary language. Folks, today, English is the most universal language that exists on the face of the earth. God saw that for something over 400 years, beginning in 1611, and I don't know when the Lord's going to come and wrap this thing up. I believe it's going to be soon. I believe it's going to be any time. God saw that a language was going to be needed that was universal. It's called English. And God said this. God said, I'm going to begin a process that started thousands of years before. He said, I'm going to begin a process. And as this English language that didn't exist began to develop, He said, I'm going to see to it that as it develops, that the Word of God is in that language. And as that language develops more, I'm going to keep the process going and I'm going to update that Word so that it keeps up, the language is able to propagate it throughout the world. And folks, God Almighty, through a process that He was totally in charge of, just the opposite of what the critical text crowd says, through a process that God Almighty Himself was in charge of and saw to it that came to place, God gave, in the King James Bible, the greatest complete copy of the Word of God that's ever existed any place, at any time. Folks, the greatest revivals that have ever taken place in history were taking place as a result of the preaching of the King James Bible. Those two great nations are in decline today. Great Britain, by the way, in 1611, you know how many people, approximately how many people there were in the world that spoke English? About 5 million. In 1611, approximately 5 million people on the face of the earth spoke English. Today, over 2 billion people speak English. The Word of God was translated into English. The British Empire began its rise. In the 1800s, at the height of its glory, the British Empire controlled 25% of the earth's surface was under the control of the British Empire. Britain began to decline and America started rising. America's in decline today. Why is that? It's directly related to the Word of God. Individuals and nations rise by honoring the Word of God. And individuals and nations decline and fall when they turn away from the Word of God. You see, the British Empire, it was in its glory when they were sending the Word of God throughout the world. They began to fall back and America took over, and America for a long time has been the world leader in sending forth the gospel. America's in decline today. Why? Because we've let go of the Word of God. We've let go. In 1950, we had approximately 100,000 fundamental missionaries that went out around the world from America. From 1950 to today, we've lost 1,000 a year. We've lost 1,000 a year. Why is that? Because when the new perversions gained a foothold, Americans began to ignore or turn away from the true Word of God. And when that happened, God began to withdraw His blessings from the nation. It happened to Great Britain. It's happening to America. What's the answer? The answer is to get back to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, bless in the service to follow. I ask in Jesus' name.